You're listening to City Church Long Beach Sermons. Visit us at citychurchlongbeach.org.
All right. Welcome, be seated. Hello to our friends on Zoom as well. So glad you're with us today. My name is Bill White. I am one of the co-pastors here at City Church of Long Beach. My pronouns are he, him. And we are a radically welcoming community on a journey towards Jesus, joining him in the renewal of all things.
Happy Easter, friends. My name is Brenna Rubio. I'm the other co-pastor here at City Church, and my pronouns are she, her. So good to be here.
Yeah. So today, there are actually a couple of days that are sort of colliding right here that we're celebrating. So Easter, obviously, is huge. It's the biggest day in the Christian year. And so we're very excited to celebrate Easter. And we also want to recognize that it's also Trans Day of Visibility. And we really honor all of our trans siblings in Christ and trans siblings worldwide. And so we're celebrating that day as well. And we are all welcome here today. So there's a traditional call and response in the American church around Easter, where typically people have said, Christ is risen, and there's a response, and they say, Christ is risen indeed, which is a beautiful and wonderful response. A friend of mine who spent a lot of time in other parts of the world has said that they had heard of a different response, and we're going to try that today, which a leader calls out, Christ is risen, and the response is, I see him on your face. This recognition that Christ is actually here in our midst and in one another. So I'll call out, Christ is risen, and you will respond, I see him on your face, but you're not going to look at me. I mean, you can, that's fine, but you can like look around at these other strange people and actually believe that Christ is.
And Zoom friends, this would be a good time to put on your screen so you can look at each other and see Christ in each other's faces.
So Christ is risen, I see him on your face. Christ is risen.
I see him on your face.
Christ is risen.
I see him on your face.
Christ is risen.
I see him on your face.
Amen and amen. That was beautiful. We would like to invite up our kiddos. We have just a special moment with our kiddos up front. If you don't have to come up front, kids, but if you want to, you can. We're going to have a just brief word with you, and then we're going to pray for you. You guys can just hang up here with me. Yeah, we're going to eventually get some of that stuff. Why don't you hang on it right now, Will?
Give it just 1 minute, Will.
Just one minute. Okay, so, yeah, come on up, Beck. Yeah. Hey, Theo, wave to the people on Zoom. They're on that, yeah. Yeah, they're in that little thing. I don't know, but they're there. That's great. Okay, we're talking about hope today. And has anyone here, let's chill out here. Let's wait just for a second. We probably should have put this out later, huh? You know, you learn things.
You guys know the procedure, so you're like jumping ahead. It's totally cool. We'll do crafts in just a sec, okay?
That is fine. So who here has ever seen a Disney movie or a superhero movie? Yeah? Yeah, what happened in the end? Yeah, what happens at the end? What's that? What's that? There's resolution, right? Not always, says Charlie.
Oh.
Yeah, the Star Wars, right? You have to wait a long time for that. It's like 9 movies or 14 movies till you get resolution, right? It's crazy. Cliffhanger. It's a cliffhanger. Oh, I love this.
There's some big words popping up here.
Yeah, this is fantastic. Okay. So one way to think about this, we're talking about hope today. One way to think about hope is that all will be well in the end. And if all is not well, it is not the end. Right? That's like what every superhero and Disney movie is based on, right? That all will be well in the end, but generally we don't see that all is well, which probably means it's not the end. And today we're thinking a little bit about that with Easter and how Jesus reminds us that all will be well in the end, even though right now not everything is. So I was wondering, just a quick question, what do you guys think is in here?
Stickers.
We think stickers. Yeah, what do you think, Theo?
Physically stuck things.
physically something.
Air.
Air. Oh, air. Air. I mean, you guys are incredible. All right, any other thoughts of what could be in here? Waffles. What's that? Candy. It could be candy. Was anyone here last year? Do you remember what was in it?
Nobody knows.
Rocks.
Rocks. I forgot.
No, it was not rocks.
I forgot.
It was empty.
No. I was guessing another egg.
You were guessing another egg. Yes.
Oh,
because you peeked and you opened it earlier. You know, I like this. I mean, this is
like, it's good for
Brenda,
the soul.
I feel like we should be done. I feel like we kind of nailed all the stuff that we were supposed to
right.
cover right here.
Uh-huh.
The cafeteria, we took it in this morning.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I was at my grandma's house.
Oh, grandma, yeah.
Me an egg, and I picked yeah. it up, and
yeah.
there was another egg.
Oh, an egg within it. It's incredible. So today, it's this. Sometimes you open it, and it's just like, woo!
Oh,
my gosh. Oh, let's not kill each other. It is Easter, after all. Let's save that for Good Friday. But there's, it will all, I just want to say to the kids on the outsides, it will all be well in the end because there are plenty of stickers here and there are books to read and there are things to play with and there are gadgets that you can play with. Yes, you can keep that. And if you want, if you get bored, you can come back up and get something else, okay? So take your time here. But first, we're going to have our friend Serena back room. Serena, if you would come up, welcome Serena, who's going to pray some order into this service now.
Yep, that'd be great. Got it.
Oh, good morning, everyone. A lot of good stuff. Let us pray. Oh, dear God, thank you so much for bringing us here this Easter Sunday. Everyone on Zoom, everyone here in person, we're just so thankful that we are able to celebrate the true meaning of Easter, resurrection of Jesus, that there is just so much great light in these children and that we can see Jesus in our faces, in our children's faces. Please bless them. Please bless the adults, the people who are guiding them, loving them, having fun with them, protecting them. Let us have a wonderful Easter. Mm. Take care of our children during spring break and this holiday season. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Serena.
All right.
All right, so kiddos are grabbing their crafts, and like Bill said, feel free to come up. We've got books, we've got some fidgets you can work with as well. And adults, when the kids have gotten what they need, we always say, hey, extras are fair game. If any of you want to do some scratch art during the sermon, want to play with some stickers, you're just so welcome to come and to look through that stuff as well. And parents, don't worry at all about any noises your kids make. This is actually like this is all of us this morning celebrating here.
We think it's normal to have kids in church. So Jesus certainly had kids in the crowd.
So good.
As we head into this message, we're thinking about hope. And we've been following the early church leader, Peter, on a journey for the last 6-8 weeks. And he's been following around Jesus, making messes of his life and other people's lives, just kind of like you and I do. And now we're coming to the close of this story. And so we'd like to invite up our friend Andrew Lee. Andrew, if you would come down, welcome Andrew, as he reads the scripture passage for us today. And typically around City Church, we stand. So if you would like to stand, you can for the reading of God's word. There you go. Thank you.
Of course. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
People of God, this is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Thanks, Andrew.
You know, looking out over this crowd, knowing we have so many other wonderful people with us on Zoom, it just occurs to me, we're all here for very different reasons, probably. Some of us may still not be entirely clear why we are here, especially on a rainy Easter morning. But something got us here. Something drew us. And it could be that it's something like hope, but hope is kind of a tricky word sometimes. And holidays like Easter can actually be kind of tricky holidays because in sometimes in spaces, we feel like we have to show up at a place like this and we have to present a certain kind of face, right? It's Easter! Woo! And some of us are feeling that. And some of us aren't, for all sorts of reasons, right? All sorts of things that could be going on in our personal lives or in the world that we might not be coming in this morning completely feeling that Easter spirit. Maybe we're here because it's our rhythm. It's what we do on Sundays or on Easters. Maybe we're here because family or friends invited us. Maybe we're here and we don't know entirely why, but it can be helpful just to acknowledge that it's complicated sometimes, days like these. And our story this morning, the story of this first Easter morning, was in itself complicated. And it can actually be kind of helpful, kind of freeing, to recognize that Jesus' friends had a pretty complicated relationship with hope that morning. That these women who showed up at the tomb and discovered that it was empty, they didn't go there that morning with anything that looked like hope. They didn't go there expecting resurrection. They didn't go there thinking, God, maybe you've done a miracle. They showed up just because there was a job to do. They showed up because they loved Jesus. And there was a job to do, anointing him in his death. They showed up to serve. Hope, that sort of more joyful version of it that we often think of, it had been beaten out of them. They thought they had known what to expect. They thought they knew the way their lives were going. They thought they knew what Jesus' ministry was aiming towards. And they had been bitterly disappointed in his death. And now they've just shown up out of love. They've just shown up out of to serve. This was the final way that they could show Jesus how much they loved him. And it seems worth noticing that love like that is one way we're sometimes surprised by hope. That service is one of those ways that sometimes it comes first. And as we just show up to love, as we just show up to be there, man, God can surprise us. These small and large miracles. And so I think this morning, of some of the ways that I've seen friends around City Church and even friends around the country showing up and looking for Jesus in service. Perhaps being surprised by hope. Last week, a bunch of you showed up to stuff our Easter eggs for this morning. It was just a small little group that was planning to get there and put all the toys and candy into the eggs over at Wrigley Coffee. And before you knew it, we had overflowed out of the little room we had rented there because so many of you just wanted to show up. Say, how can we create some joy for these kids? Small, little ways like that. People this morning who showed up to give their neighbors rides so that they could show up for the Rainbow Club Easter breakfast. They couldn't have gotten there otherwise. Here's one. There were a couple City Church folks this week who showed up at a protest at the last hotel in Long Beach that is refusing to allow unionization for their cleaning staff. And so on Maundy Thursday, a day when traditionally we recognize the Last Supper of Jesus, when he washed the feet of his disciple and said, this is how we love one another. A group of pastors showed up for the protest and they washed the feet of the cleaning staff. There to protest so that they would be able to unionize and protect their rights. I think of friends all over the country who this Easter are celebrating by marching in hopes of peace in the Middle East and of a ceasefire in Gaza. Sometimes hope shows up as we just serve. We get active. I think of our Cole Arthur Riley, who writes on Instagram under Black Liturgies. She writes this about hope. God of complicated hope, we confess that we have made for ourselves a dainty hope. It's difficult to accept the hope of inspirational quotes when we see the traumas of this world clear and constant. Many of us have had language of hoping in God wielded against us as a way to keep us from the lament and anger and justice we were meant for. Protect our hope from toxic positivity, that we could name the truth of our deepest longings and face a waiting marked by pain and want. We believe, forgive our unbelief, that what is will not always be. Help us learn to allow our dreaming to be a deep guttural groan, a promise we can recline into, a place where we can catch our breath.
Amen. So there's a sense, right, where when you serve and you love, sometimes you end at hope, right? I was actually there on Thursday at the foot washing and watching all these other pastors. I was just in the crowd watching them wash the feet of the cleaning staff and saying to them, Jesus sees you. Mm-hmm. You have dignity. Mm-hmm. You are worthy of love and care. I came home. I told my wife, I said, Easter's done for me. This is the best service. This is it's not going to get any better than this. I saw Jesus there. You know, I was literally filled with hope, right? Because of just what Brent was saying, right? There's another pathway that ends at hope, that things could change, that all could be well in the end, and that's the pathway through camaraderie, through friendship. Through storytelling. The women, they come back and they tell the story, right? They've seen something. They're not sure quite what it is. They're still sorting it out. But it says this in Luke 24, verse 9 and 10, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11. There used to be 12, but one has passed on, and to all the others, so to a lot of folks. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. The women have always been telling stories. And they've always led to hope. I mean, you can dig into these women's stories and realize, oh my gosh, this is where Easter starts. It starts with the women who are sharing stories so that other people can start to hope for themselves. That maybe something could be different. Maybe the pain is not all there is, the loss. Maybe even death is not the end. And they tell the stories. And so many times, that's where hope comes from. We cannot generate it on our own, but we hear someone else's story. I mean, of course, the men don't believe. Like, hello. Like, yeah. I saw a great Instagram post this morning. It was the women and Jesus and the empty tomb. And they're like, awesome. This is clearly going to be the end of patriarchy.
That's been my experience.
No, the men do not believe. But it starts to creep in a little bit. It starts to actually creep in on the women and on those they share with. Hope starts to dawn bit by bit. I think of my older brother, who is a recovering alcoholic, and the intervention that saved his life, and really, in so many ways, our family. It was my dad. My dad was super courageous, and about 15 years ago, Dad realized, I've had enough. He called one of his friends. My dad was a big, fancy lawyer, and he knew this other lawyer who was an alcoholic and who had gotten sober. And he called Dean. He said, Dean, I don't know what to do. And Dean had a story that you actually could change. There actually was hope. And so my dad asked Dean to talk to my brother. It was after a huge family blow up, a huge, huge mess. We were on vacation. My brother stormed out, left. We weren't sure he was going to make it home. But he met with Dean. And Dean shared a story that you actually could be different, that your family could stay intact. You could actually learn how to love your children. Mm-hmm. And my brother believed. It gave him hope. And ironically, along the way, my dad, the story started to sink into my dad, and he realized that he was an alcoholic too, and he needed that story also.
Wow.
But that's how it happens, right? It starts to sink into you, like, and you, as you see it sinking into others, this is where you get hope. You get hope from other people. In some ways, it was my brother getting sober that made my dad realize, no, I need to come out and admit that I am an alcoholic also. Mm-hmm. Redemption for the whole family. I mean, long journey. Still a long journey. But this is where hope comes from. It comes through these different paths, right? The path of love and service, the path of friendship and hearing other people's stories.
Mm. And Peter, while he's resistant, I love their words seem to them like nonsense. It's hysterical women. Peter is resistant, and yet we see it does work on him. It simmers there in the background. That was an interesting story they had to share. And so it says that while they did not believe the women, Peter got up and ran to the tomb. It's Peter alone out of this crowd of men who seems to give in to his curiosity. And what we seem to see here is that while Peter was initially doubtful, now he's doubting his doubt. Isn't that funny? How being open-minded sometimes is basically saying, I'm going to question even my own questions. I'm going to stay open to what I might yet not know. And that openness, that curiosity, is another crack that hope can crawl in through. Because maybe there was something to what they said. Maybe there is something in their story. And again, I think that's working in some of us too. We have doubts.
And yet, what if our doubts can actually be the cracks through which hope can come? What if in our doubt we can still find curiosity? What if there's more going on in our stories? You know, so often in my own spiritual experience and as I interact with people, there's this sense that somehow we need to understand the resurrection. We need to have an explanation for this miracle that happens on the cross. What actually happened there that first Easter Sunday? I'm really not sure that's the point of the story. I don't think this is, you know, a science textbook. I think the point of the story is to not help us understand the resurrection, not to make us cognitively more aware of it, but it's an invitation for us to actually experience it in our own lives, to experience that there may be more going on, that it's, as Bill said, that the story isn't over until we get to the good part, right? Yes, right now we might be in the messy middle, but resurrection is coming, and we have the opportunity to experience it over and over again. Even Peter, that is actually what he experiences. It's not one and done. It's not, hey, he shows up and he sees an open tomb, and now he gets it. He understands it. He's changed, and he never has any more growing to do. That's not actually what happens with Peter. We've seen over and over in this season. His story, man.
It's like the 9 seasons of Star Wars or 14 or whatever it is, right? It just keeps going.
Little resolutions, right? That then send us in the next stage of the journey, the next chapter of the story. Resurrection, too. Our resurrection stories are progressive. We experience Jesus and new life over and over again. Peter is going to lose hope again, and he's going to meet and experience Jesus again, over and over and over. And maybe that's okay. Maybe that's us too. Maybe you don't understand what's happening in this season of your spiritual life. Okay. But resurrection is coming. And then the next time you find yourself in a messy season again, it's okay. Jesus can show up there too.
I'd like to invite our friend Sochi up, who's going to share just a little bit of her story. If you would welcome Sochi.
Woo-hoo!
For those who are new around City Church, we love to pick on random people. And pretty much every Sunday, we try to hear stories just from ordinary folks who are part of the church, because we just think that's how we learn. And it's actually what's going on in this text. People are sharing stories. And so, Sochi, how long have you been around City Church?
I'll say over a year now.
Okay, so over a year. So you're like a long-timer.
I guess. I don't know.
When you came to church, because it had been a little while, right?
Yeah.
What surprised you about being back in church again?
I think I've always liked the idea of, like, being able to go to church, specifically, like, with your partner. I used to go to church all the time with my mom. It was mostly because my partner was always working in the weekends. But also, I think when I came here, specifically, something that surprised me was when you said my pronouns are he and him. He and him.
Yeah.
And I just found that kind of like, oh, this is interesting. This is new. Like, you know, like, you don't hear that. I mean, I don't know. I've never been to another, like, church besides, like, Catholic church.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really refreshing, and just being in an environment where I was like, okay, like, this is something new. Okay. Yeah.
The priest doesn't say he, him after he's...
No.
It's been a minute since. Yeah. So I didn't know. So you are a remarkably, would you call yourself remarkably positive? I think of you that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? I mean, when you see Sochi, she's always smiling, she's happy. That's just you, right?
Why is that? Or maybe you could tell us a story about like hope and positivity and staying, like believing that things could change.
Well, going back to the whole situation of my partner, first of all, I don't really like using that word. I guess I should say my fiance, girlfriend. when I came out to my mom, I was like 18. And like I said, you know, I grew up in a very heavily like Catholic church. So it was like a big no. She was like so mad. My dad didn't really say much, to be honest. But she was really mad to the point where she would just say the meanest things. I think one of the most hurtful things she said at the time, she was like, I would rather die than be a lesbian. And I was like, okay. I was like, I don't belong here. So oh, I ended up like running away, and that's another story. But fast forward, I'll say fast forward to time.
So that was when you were 18?
I was like 17, 18, yeah. Okay. So my dad passes away when I'm like 19, and then, you know, she tries to have me, like, I completely understand she feels alone. She's like, you should move in with me. And I told her I am already like on my own, like I don't want to move in. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of struggles where my mom, you know, I would not really talk about it unless she brought it up. She would say, oh, so your girlfriend, she didn't say that. She's like, Lily, she's your friend. Like, what are you? And I was like, no, she's not my friend. She's like, oh, okay. And then she would bring up the conversation again, and she would say, oh, so you guys are together. Can you just not make that a public thing? Like, can you guys just say you're friends? And I was like, okay, sure, whatever makes you comfortable at this point, you know? And it just got to the point where she kept bringing it up once in a while. She would be like, I just want you to be right with God. I want you to go to church again with me. Because I stopped going with her for a while. And I just couldn't take it anymore. It was like in COVID time, and we were over talking on the phone, and I told her, you know what, I'm sorry, but if you're going to keep doing this to me, keep like throwing, because she would kind of say like remarks, not directly, but she would be kind of a little indirect. Mm-hmm. So I understood that she was like being indirect, and I told
passive aggressive.
Yeah,
passively being aggressive. Yeah.
So I told her, you know, I am sorry. If you're going to keep doing this, then you're not going to see me ever again, because I am not going to tolerate this and put myself through a situation where you're just going to keep being indirect with me. And she actually, there was like a long silence. there was like a long silence on the phone. And then she was like, no, I don't. She started crying. She was like, I don't want you to be drifted away from me. She told me this in Spanish, by the way. My mom doesn't speak English. And she was like, you know, she's like, ever since your dad died, like, I can't imagine not being with the person that you love. She's like, so I wouldn't want that for you. And she's like, I guess I could see, like, Lily as my daughter, too, right? Like, she started, like, changing, and I was just like, who are you? Like, on the phone. So I started crying on the phone, and I was just like, oh, my God, is this really happening? And also, it happened in the month of Pride, so it was so weird. And then she, you know, we couldn't see each other, so she was just like, it was just so weird. And I told her, yeah, you know, I just really want one day for us to all go out and, like, have lunch together or something. So, yeah, I mean, not so long ago, like, a couple times now, we've been going out to eat. And
the three of you.
The three of us. And every time she tells Lily, oh, thank you so much for, like, you know, for everything. And, like, I'm like, this is so crazy. It's just, and this took like 10 years.
So tell us about that. So this is a story for you of hope. Like when I ask you, like, tell me a story of hope, this is a story you come to.
Yeah.
Why is it? Like, was God in that? Did you sense God in that? Or like, how is hope there like 10 years ago? You know what I'm saying?
I feel like even after I came out to the church, like the priest came up to me and he was like, you know, you can't serve here anymore. Like, you can keep coming to church. But to me, I always feel like I had a connection with God no matter what. So even though I wasn't actively going to church, I just kept hoping, and I would always pray. I'll be like, God, you know, I just want peace. I just want my peace. I don't want to.
So you kept praying. Yeah. You kept believing.
I just kept praying, believing that one day, you know, everything would be good. Like my mom's all I have. So I was like, I just want at least her to be accepting. Like, if that's one thing I carry before she passes away or something, I was like, I just want her to be accepting. That's all I wanted. Mm. And yeah, it came true.
Wow. That's great. That's really beautiful.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So now, like, now you don't doubt anymore?
Yes, I don't know.
All right, so you still, like, you're a normal human, right? So
yeah,
you still have struggles, even though you're positive.
Yeah.
you still have struggles with doubt, like this is normal. Like, can you share a story about, like, maybe when things haven't gone as well and what gives you hope to hang on?
I think it's kind of like I catch myself at least like having this relationship with God where I'm constantly praying, and then there's moments where things are going good, so I'm like, I don't need to pray right now. But I started changing that and praying even in the bad times and the good times as well. So even when I'm sick, I'm like, thank you for making me sick because now I have time to rest. But I think one of the time was actually last Easter in the beach. I was going through a lot of things emotionally. And, you know, as all of us, we go through so many battles that we don't talk about. So I just remember being there in the sand and closing my eyes, and I was telling God, like, not that I doubt you, but I'm kind of doubting you right now because you're not listening to me.
Yeah,
or so it feels like. I'm just like, come on.
Yeah.
And so I close my eyes, and I just, like it's kind of like when you're looking at a light and you close your eyes and you could see, like, the little pattern. So I close my eyes. This is at the sunrise service. I close my eyes, and I see, like, what I believe it was Jesus or God or whatever you want to portray it as, but it was just the light, and it was like, I drew it. I don't know if you have it.
I think we have the picture. That's your drawing, right?
That's my drawing.
And you saw, like, when you closed your eyes, you had...
Obviously not that detailed, but it was like that, and then I have, like, it was just mostly, like, just a lot of light, and I was just, like, I remember without, like, not to say any bad words, but I was like, OMG. I was like, what the heck? I was like, okay, I'm sorry for doubting you.
So God shows up, and you start cussing?
No, I don't start cussing. But I was just like, legit. I was like, it's kind of like, no, you didn't. Like, you really did come through right now. So, yeah, it was just like a moment of like, wow, this is true. I mean, again, I've had so many proofs in the past of other things. So I was like, why did I doubt you? I was like, I'm sorry. I just, it was one of those desperate times, I guess.
Yeah, you know, you'll doubt again.
Yeah.
And so will I. So will Brenna. So this is what we do.
Yeah. And I like what Brenna said about doubting brings curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah. So good. Write doubt your doubts.
Yeah.
You know, let it be curious. Like, huh? Like you did. Mm-hmm. Like, God, I'm not like I'm doubting, but I'm doubting. Like, what's going on here?
Uh-huh.
You know, like you got honest.
Yeah.
You know, it's beautiful. I mean, these stories are exactly what we need to hear. And we're just, we're super grateful that you would share them with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Do you have a, typically we allow people to ask a question of us. You don't have to. Sometimes we get off easy, which is fine.
Not really, because I think what you said was that we will keep on doubting, and I was going to ask you, because everybody asks Bill, about, like, what do you do in those moments of doubt, I guess, like, as a fresh reminder, like, somebody that might be doubting right now.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
We can hear from Brent as well. Oh, she's yeah, I would say I doubt every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe I'm not supposed to say that as you're one of your pastors.
okay.
I mean, I just think it's normal. I mean, I also feel really grateful every day. I feel really, I actually trust that God's at work. But, you know, I look at like the war in Gaza, and I just pray so much. I'm like, God, what are you doing? This is crazy, you know. And I just like, where are you? And so, and then sometimes, I don't know. I struggle with, you know, I meet with a lot of other Christian leaders, and a lot of them some of them are super mean, especially to queer folk. And I doubt. I'm like, God, what? Can't you change them? But then I think I doubt most when I look at myself and I go like, man, I have not grown up yet. God, can you not change this? You know? And I think those are the times that I do doubt. So I look at the world and I look at Christians and I look at myself and I struggle and I'm like, man. But I just can't deny all the times that God's come through for me. All the times that God's healed me, all the ways God's, I mean, talk to my family. They'll be like, yeah, no, he's different. I mean, you should have seen him then, you know. You think he's messy now, you know. So it's like, it's hard to deny that God is alive and changing people, and that's what I'm banking on for this world. So how about you, Brenna Rubio?
Yeah, I think I doubt just as often as Bill does for a lot of the same reasons. I do think that power of story, and sometimes it's like remembering our own stories. Like this morning when I got up and I was driving over here in the rain, and it was a little discouraging, you know, just the rainy day, and I haven't been feeling great. But then you remember, like, okay, but I remember last year driving to the beach at 5:30 in the morning, and well, it was 5:30 in the morning, right? And so I had some negative thoughts going at that point too, right? But then I remember how God showed up in like these amazing ways, and so I think it's the stories. But I also just want to say sometimes I also just have to tell myself I need a nap. I mean, I just want to be honest. Like, sometimes I think we don't take care of ourselves, right? And then we wonder why the world is getting us down. And I'm like, we haven't had a snack, right? And we haven't slept enough, and we haven't been with our friends. And so sometimes I just think God's pretty tender with us that way. And sometimes we need to be tender with ourselves and our doubts as well.
So good.
Thank you.
Would you thank God for our friend Sochi?
Thank you so much. That was fantastic. You are such a gift. Such a gift. And I think our friend Lisa Carpenter is going to pray over us. Lisa's one of our board members, and Wesley is soon to be